Hello and welcome to the American Horror Story Podcast. We're the officially unofficial podcast for American Horror Story on FX. Of course, we're talking about the final episode of Season 6, Roanoke, Episode 610, Chapter 10. I'm your host, Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
And what? I move that we put all discussion of the season as a whole to the right before feedback, and
okay.
We talk about just the episode.
That's fine. It was a very polarizing episode, our household.
And a polarizing season. What did you think of this episode?
Hey, season talk at the end, please.
Sorry. Can't even follow my own fucking rules.
Honestly, my opinions on this episode are wrapped up in my opinions of the season. I thought it was disappointing.
Okay. Well, fuck me. We can talk about the season as a whole.
Briefly?
Yeah.
I thought that it was I don't know what the whole point was. I don't know what the point was. Like, usually there's a story to tell or an interesting character development or something, but there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see a bunch of people find a house and all die together.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, the ghosts themselves didn't get freed, or, you know, the traditional ghost story where they get vindicated post-life and they get to move on.
The house did get sucked into another dimension.
Right. And, yeah, I think that's why I was disappointed. I mean, I guess the episode itself was fine. You know, after we watched it 2-3 times, it was better.
Yeah, we had a little bit more time this week because instead, like, we... You had some work commitments that came up, and we had the
Harry Potter
Fantastic Beasts commitments, and it just the timing didn't work out. So we're recording on a Saturday, early Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
And having that extra day is nice because we could give it an extra watch, and we could do a little bit more research. I think the season's up and down and all over the place, like every season American Horror Story I've ever seen. I will say that this is the season that scared me personally the most. I had the most scares where I actually had a physiological response. And I think that's significant. I like that. That's one of the reasons I watch horror shit, is to feel that kind of primitive lizard brain fight or flight response.
Yeah, and I will say after watching all the seasons that this is the only one that just went all gore horror.
Right.
And jump scares especially, too.
Right. And it had some real creepy things, too. Like, there's a couple things that made, like, the hair on the back of my head stand up.
Yeah. And
or neck.
Yeah, you can find those in all the seasons.
But I hate the fact that they got away from the really awesome credit sequence.
Yeah.
I also thought the characters were even more hard to kind of, like, identify with. And Ryan Murphy was aggressively characterizing them in ways that made us... not want to like them, that mm-hmm. made this finale not pay off. And I don't think that any of that shit actually worked. Like, the last 10 minutes of this movie, of this episode, I thought were just whatever. But I actually really had a lot of fun with the meta. Like, them skewering fan panels at, fan expositions. And them skewering, like, the way the media covers things. And skewering the Lana Winters, Barbara Walters kind of, like, puff piece.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, faux aggressive journalism. I thought that stuff was all really... And I don't have any affection for the Lana Winters character because I never saw that. Still, suck it. Taste it. I haven't seen it yet. The first two seasons of American Horror Story. So I just thought that was just really campy and fun. And then the Ghost Hunter bros at the end, I thought, like, you know, those all, like, seemed like they had it coming. So, and also just, like, I was impressed by the way they kept on, like, piling on, like, little Easter eggs and fan appearances, or not fan appearances, you know, actors from other seasons appearances. Like, some people are like, you know, geez, why even have Evan Peters' ghost? And I'm like, why not? It's Evan Peters. Like, I think he's a fucking screaming, and he's, like, the worst part of Freaks, but he's a part of American Horror Story, and people
mm-hmm.
like that. And
mm-hmm.
I kind of, at some level, respect Ryan Murphy's, even though he's not giving the people what they want at all, he's still kind of giving some of the people what they want in every episode. Rather than saying, like, okay, 75% of fans I want to make happy, he tries to make everyone happy a little bit at a time, which
right.
ends up making no one happy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a weird little community, right? You know, like, everyone's always up in arms about something. Someone's always saying it's their best season.
Yeah.
It's the worst season. And there's a point that was made there in the feedback that I'm going to talk about at the very end. But At the end of the day, I had a lot of fun at the season. I thought some of it was hilarious. I didn't care. Like, my personal nadir was all the torture porn stuff. But this did have more genuine scares. And the big thing that I'll always be pissed about is, even with the like they had some of the best teasers, some of the best, creepiest visual imagery teasers for this season. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they couldn't stitch it together into some kind of credit sequence pisses me off.
Well, only one of those teasers actually applied to this episode or the season.
Which one? The teeth?
Yeah, the teeth.
Yeah, because there was no spider horror. Chime. Well, I mean, I guess the chins are kind of spider-based.
No. The teeth is the only one.
Okay.
Confirmed that applied.
All right.
Via the people who produced the show.
Oh, okay. All right, well then.
I mean, you can make connections all day long to creepy stuff. I'm just letting you know.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, I'm just saying that, like, that's the thing, because that, to me, that's American Horror Story. American Horror Story is part of the visceral experience of watching American Horror is watching 60 seconds of creepy shit with the, you know, beat behind it. And I didn't get that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I didn't get the buzzsaw starting up sound. I didn't get any of that cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the bass drop. I didn't get nothing. And that's will always be a disappointment to me. Shall we talk about the episode?
Yes.
Now that we've talked about our feelings about everything and fuck the format, fuck the police,
we'll still have season wrap-up thoughts at the end of this.
Okay. So, Chapter 10. We start with Paley Fest, where the announcer's saying, their nightmare was our dream, and this devolves into essentially every fan panel ever.
Yeah.
And they... Like, and I've hosted these things. I've been in all sides of these experiences. Yeah. And if you don't have a strong moderator, it turns into a shit show. I saw this happen once. Yeah.
It was a interview between Andrew Lincoln and Daryl Dixon. And the first person who says, "Can I have a hug?" Every single goddamn person that comes up to the microphone is going to ask, and they do it.
And here's the problem.
Because they don't know how to cut it off.
Here's the problem. Because I've been on both sides of this. Like, it means so much for fans to be able to meet the people that they and like that had a, like personal experiences with and thank them and have that kind of intimate experience. Like, that means the world to people.
Right.
But when you have 2,000 people in a room and 12
respect.
People are getting the hugs and everybody else is sitting there like, Jesus fucking Christ, like this is crazy. I'm not getting anything out. It turns into a shit show, and I don't know how to fix that. Like, ideally, the stars would make themselves available for the personal interactions after the pan, but a lot of times they don't and they can't, and there's restrictions and contract things. And
I think you should have someone up there at the microphone when mm-hmm. you know everyone's waiting in line. Say, please don't ask for hugs. If you have a gift, please don't offer it. You know, things like that to keep it moving, keep the questions going.
But what do you do with
and if it does happen anyway, then it's at least you put some sort of firewall in
place.
No,
I agree. The moderator has to serve the majority of the fans there, which means that you got to ask insightful questions and you got to make sure that, like, if a fan asks a dumb question, and they do. They always fucking do. They ask the worst questions possible that's easy that you can look up, that's been answered before. They're... You know, like, don't ask him about hints for the next season. Don't ask him about which weapon. It's like, can you give us a hint about what weapon you're going to use to bust a zombie set? Like, that stuff is just dumb. Don't do it.
Because, I mean, yeah, the moderators get a list ahead of time. Here's what you can and cannot ask about.
I'm just saying, like, a lot of times these things are not, you know, the things I guess the fansies understand is they're not really, these things require you to exist, but they also are not really set up to service you.
No, not you personally.
Yeah, and it's a weird tension, and I don't know what to do it. You know, like, I like the way that Gabe and Tycho at Penny Arcade do it. Like, they have these big Q&A things where, you know, it's a show for the audience, but then they also literally spend hours at their booth for free, and if you want to wait in line, you can have whatever interaction you want with them, like, within moral and ethical and legal restraints. But, you know what I mean?
They do pictures and hugs and
pictures and hugs, and you can give them gifts and all that. And they've consciously started, like, and all now, like, in the last few years, to ward off the stupid questions, people have to submit the questions in advance. So then they're hand curated, so it's always the most interesting or funny stuff. And that's all
that
makes
it
a better show, but I know there's some
fans
that are bummed
that
they can't have that organic get up and, like, I made this quilt for you based on this one thing you said, and I want you to have it. And that stuff's all super cool, but...
Right, but I... Yeah.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, there needs the problem most of these shows, and it's probably partly to blame because of the agents, partly to blame because of people running it and the moderators, partly to blame because of the stars themselves. They just don't allow people to have the wide spectrum of experiences. It's like you have to cram everything you ever want to say to Andrew Lincoln in your 1 minute in the spotlight on the microphone. If you want a hug, then goddamn, you need to get a hug. And if you want him, you want to give him your handmade leather holster for his Colt Python, like, you know.
What did you do to Andrew Lincoln when you met him?
I did my shitty Rick Grimes impression to him.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I've been, and I'm also achieved the lowest rung of celebrity where people come to see me at things.
Yeah.
And they want, you know, like an autograph, or they want a post. And I'm like, that's all cool with me. And like, but like, imagine that scaling to like someone as famous as Andrew Lincoln or Tom Cruise. It's like, yeah,
I just can't relate. I don't get starstruck.
I don't either.
I don't want to hug anyone ever. I don't want anyone to ever touch me.
Like,
and I also
wrong.
Don't want to spend my time making things for people I don't know.
Right.
So I just can't relate to any of this fan experience besides just wanting desperately to say thank you for being so good and
that's
making
the
my
thing.
Life
like,
so
I've,
great.
I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of experiences with people that I respect, like, you know, Peyton Manning and Chad Coleman and Andrew Lincoln and, you know, just tons of people where I've able to sit, like, shake their hand and just say I'm really a big fan of your work, or even better yet, have a conversation about. And, like, you know, I don't have any trophies from that except for Chad Coleman. That was his idea.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
They're like, no one's photographs are not allowed, so I didn't even think
to
ask.
We were standing there, and he sees me standing there, and he's like, hey, you want to take a picture
because
of
us? I had a long conversation with him, and we talked about The Wire and The Walking Dead and everything.
And I'm super glad, because he was wearing the best shirt I've ever seen.
Totally.
Hashtag swag, if anyone's not seen it. We should get back on point to that.
Yeah,
episode.
Like, we just started talking about everything wrong with, like, right. Fandom and conventions and expos.
Speaking of celebrities, the two people who are hosting this convention, this PaleyFest panel, are Trixie Mattel, who is a RuPaul's Drag Race star.
Okay, because I had said that she's like kind of like RuPaul, only not.
And Edward Hansen, who is... Oh, my God. You're
what?
So adorable.
What?
You just described a very, very unique drag queen as RuPaul, but not. And Edward Hansen, I guess they host like a YouTube after show, hashtag after show for
right.
American Horror Story.
Hate him already.
So they're already, you know, getting that super meta fan experience of being fans that host a YouTube show that Ryan Murphy brought in to play people who were mm-hmm. moderating this panel. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But so, yeah, I feel like, anyway, we talked about the stuff. And, like, also how weird it is. I thought it was interesting that, like, you've got people that were survivors of the original trauma. And there's people with pig heads on and they got bloody cleavers. And, like, that was just, I'm trying to think of, like, Matt seemed like the most grounded of all
also,
of them. Although he's
what,
a witch, he's a bear witch fucker.
In which universe do they ever bring the real... life people
went in a universe where they cut fat checks for appearance fees.
I mean,
and they're
just...
broke and they don't have any money and they need to make it. Like, I mean, I think you can get people there.
Sure, but I'm just saying that I've never seen that happen.
Oh, that's the really bum thing. The biggest bummer of all these things is when a star agrees to be there for some astronomical fee because they don't want to be there, and then that fee is hit and they're there and they're hating every minute of it.
Yeah,
like that's like the worst for everybody involved.
Yeah.
But on the end, you know, like sometimes these, I imagine a lot of these stars are like, they're not everybody is like the Rory type or the, what was Cuba Gooding Jr. playing? What
Dominic.
Was his name? Not everybody's the Dominic type or they want to just jump out and crowd surf. You know, I imagine there's like a lot of, famous actors who like Harrison Ford. I don't think he likes the limelight one little bit.
Yeah.
And like, he's very uncomfortable, but he's also a mega star. So what do? You know?
I wonder why those kinds of people even get into...
He lives in Montana on a ranch where he just has thousands of miles between him and everybody else.
I wonder why these people even get into entertainment.
Like Harrison Ford was like a fucking carpenter on set and
or
he
like,
got drafted, essentially.
Or like celebrities
and
who
talk...
he's so
damn magnetic.
Or like celebrities who talk about their anxiety or this or that or their introversion. Like, I don't know that I'm buying it.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, there's the fan art where this one fan who seems to have a British accent as gave Lee a charcoal drawing of her.
Terrible, Flora. Terrible accent. The worst accent I've ever heard.
I heard. Didn't you say she was from Australia though? Which might explain why.
So why doesn't she just do an Australian accent? Why is it? Why is it important? What if that is her?
It's not. Okay.
Why is it important that she do a London accent when she could just do an Australian accent or whatever your natural accent is?
Good question.
Like, why does Audrey need to be English?
I wonder how much Ryan Murphy just lets, hey, here's the character, and then Sarah Paulson's like, you know what would be super fun, Murphy? I want to play this person as a London, like, socialite.
And he's hating himself because he let Kathy Bay get away with Old Bay.
I know. He's on board. He's so on board. He's cackling. And, oh, my God, do it, Sarah. I think he's fully on board.
Okay.
So then we then cut to the artist fan on her YouTube, which was hilariously entitled. Her channel's called MRW, My Reaction When Lee Harris Is Wronged.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. And she's like, I don't know. The second series, like, everyone loves the first series, but second series seems exploitive. And I know it was even more popular, which, you know, apparently the 3 days where everyone got killed was packaged up and put on air. But and it was more popular than ever. But there's a lot of fans saying that it was exploitative. And were the deaths really real? And now Lee's on trial for murder. Question. Did you find it implausible that there would be all these murders on camera and, you know, you'd think certificates of death for people and people that are actually missing? Do you think there would be this much controversy on whether it was real or not?
No. Well,
I mean,
yes.
This is America, a country where a lot of people believe that Barack 9/11. Obama is a Muslim Kenyan.
That's not even the worst example.
Agent.
People believe that 9/11
was an inside job.
That
we faked the moon landing.
Exactly.
Like, there's
so,
going to be a...
Yes.
I don't know how big people believe that
Sandy Hook was a hoax.
I never know how many people really believe that. And is it enough to, like, you could...
Well, here's the thing. This is an incident that was mostly isolated. So you didn't have witnesses. You didn't have people around. You didn't need those...
And it's a TV show, so there's no real stakes. So why wouldn't
what do they
people
call
believe?
Crisis actors. You didn't even need any of those. All you have to do is say, hey, there's some found footage.
Right.
It's like me trying to convince you that Paranormal Activity really happened.
Remember when Blair Witch came out? For like a week or two, there was intense debate amongst people about that being real. And I thought I was losing my mind. I think I was in high school at the time, but I'm like, Jesus Christ, how can you possibly believe they found footage of people dying in the woods
and then released wide release, yeah.
Right.
In a movie theater.
Right. It's weird, though, because the lines are getting blurrier because you can go on a lot of different Reddit sites. There's literally an r/watch people die and just dozens of people dying and security footage essentially every day. And it's like, Jesus Christ. So, like, when we were growing up, the faces of death shit was largely faked. But now it's like you can get faces of death all day, every day, right to the comfort of your couch. And what is that doing to society? I don't know. I'm an old person saying, get off my lawn. But then they cut from that YouTube thing to leave Brittany alone to apparently the Polk. What was his name? Lot Polk.
Yeah.
Is got his YouTube channel, which I didn't check his screen name. It's probably hilarious. Rebel Yell 69. And he is swearing revenge, and he's got an assault rifle, and he says he's going to get justice for his family. And he only had 14 views. So now I thought that was interesting, too, because we've seen in the last year, or maybe 2 years ago, there was like this former pickup artist / men's rights activist / crazy person that shot up a bunch of people in his...
Oh, yeah, that kid, the
yeah,
film director's son.
Because women wouldn't love him and have sex with him, essentially.
Yeah, he shot up a sorority because the girls wouldn't date him.
And he had a lot of stuff on his website that's kind of like this. So I thought this is... I think in the next few years, we're going to see a lot of this, where people go off and do something terrible, and it's going to be documented on YouTube... But there's so much shit that it's not going to get a lot of attention. I feel like that this is very not only ripped from the headlines, but something we're going to be putting up with a lot going forward, unfortunately, until we, you know, I think the way to solve this is, and I feel like that this is the way a lot of places in Europe cover it, but like just the media needs to get together and says when someone does something terrible like this, We're not going to mention their name. We're not going to show their picture. We're not going to talk about their tragic backstory. It's just going to be, we're going to treat it like a fucking tornado.
Yeah.
And because I feel like there's a lot, you know, this isn't a controversial statement. A lot of people think this, but glamorizing, giving those people their moments in the sun kind of inspires the next generation.
Right.
If you're a disaffected person, you're like, I want to show everybody and I want everyone to know exactly why they were wrong and why, like, okay, the media will fucking blast it for days, if not weeks. Like, we got to stop doing that, man. Because I just don't give a shit. I, you know, we can still have the debates about gun control and what we do about mental illness in the country, but I don't give a shit about the particulars anymore. It seems like counterproductive.
Right.
God damn, it's getting preachy. You do a podcast, an American Horror Story, on a Saturday afternoon, you get preachy. Preachy and opinionated. Then we keep, and again, I'm delighted by all this. There is a show called Cracked, where it's
just like the actual snow on oxygen or show on oxygen called Snapped.
Yeah, about, like, you know, it's
about women who lost it and killed their spouse and family.
Right, and also there's a lot of send up of, like, a lot of the true crime stuff where you've got the smug prosecutor saying that they knew they were guilty even when they didn't really.
You know, interestingly enough, IMDb has Matt Bomer listed as the host of this show. He's Lady Gaga's love interest.
From last season,
yeah,
right?
From
Interesting.
Hotel.
Interesting. Yeah. That's a nice little touch. And you've also got the jury saying, like, you know, she was smoking that crazy polk weed that has hallucinogens and she was...
I just say that people who smoke weed generally don't also want to be smoking PCP at the same time?
Right.
That's the most hard to believe thing about this episode.
But as they were going through this, I started, like, buying into it. Like, she was on several different drugs. She was being tortured. She was trying to figure out how to go free. Like,
so you believe she's innocent too?
No, because I actually had the benefit of seeing all this happen. But I
right, but the thing that these people are watching on videotape is the exact same thing that we saw happen. What's different?
Well, because we know their ghosts were real.
Okay.
And, I mean, I guess that's, like, I'm just saying that, like, I'm not sure if it's a reasonable doubt, and I don't know. I definitely think it's stupid that she got off, like, would not even have to do some psychiatric work. Because if you believe that she snapped or cracked this hard, then she needs some professional help and probably medication to be safe to be released back into the general population if that ever happens.
Right, or to ever, ever, ever have a hope of seeing her daughter again.
Yeah. And in fact, yeah, so, but anyway, whatever. They also then they had a prosecutor coming back and getting her for her taped confession. And here's a strong case that she had the taped confession, which may or may not have been under duress. But they also had Matt security cameras showing that she was gone and had no alibi for the time for when Mason was killed. Then something we didn't know, which was a phone record. They had an 6 minute long phone record around the time that he died where they're saying, well, she made contact and arranged a meeting. And then Flora, who was out hiding in the woods with Priscilla this whole time, apparently saw the whole thing, saw the confrontation, the fight from start, and she's the prosecutor's star witness. And I just couldn't believe that then Lee's lawyer essentially accused her of being crazy and lying and the ghosts weren't real, which is cynical as hell from Lee's standpoint, because... You know, as Lana Winters later says, like, you've made the half the nation think that your daughter is a liar and a crazy person.
True.
So I'm saying, like, I thought all this was ridiculous, but also some of it even penetrated, like, oh wow, this is some interesting shit that they're pulling too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why that's relevant. I mean, she's a little girl who experienced a trauma and started to imagine things. I don't know that anyone's going to hold... Well, they are probably going to hold that against her for the rest of her life.
But what I'm saying is, like...
This
as
is
you're...
the same woman who went back to a house where she experienced actual scary, crazy, dangerous
right.
circumstances just to prove her innocence. So, yeah, she's more interested in being found innocent than she is about any of the people or consequences of her actions.
It's just funny that, like, there again, that seems like Ryan Murphy's hell-bent in making me think that Lee is a shitty mother. And there's a line even there where the lawyer's like, this might indict Lee as a mother, but not as a murderer, which I guess I kind of believe. I'm just saying that it's one thing when you're constructing defenses against people that you don't care one way or another. It's like, you know, everything goes in love and war when you're fighting for your freedom. But when it's your own fucking traumatized daughter that you're heaping further trauma and scorn onto, like, if you're convincing me that Lee's a complete piece of shit, then mission accomplished.
Right.
But when she goes for the face turn at the end, then fuck you, Murphy.
Yeah, exactly. But
anyway, so we find out that there was 16 days of deliberation, which I thought was pretty funny.
I didn't even know that was legal. I thought after a certain amount of time they had to.
Don't you remember the OJ sent? They were there for fucking ever. Yeah. Now, that wasn't deliberations. I don't remember how long the deliberations were, but 16 days seem for just deliberations a long fucking time. But that could be, you know, I think a lot of this was Ryan Murphy having fun with the American Crime Story stuff that he did.
Yes.
Which, I don't know how much of this is like, I enjoyed the hell out of that series, and I appreciated the kind of pokes at that probably much more successful thing that he did.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have that kind of affection for that, maybe it would fall flat. So I don't know. But I ate all this shit up. So now we get to the Lana Winters part, and I think this was so good. This Barbara Walters send up, and she came out of retirement, and she's got this very...
So
very precise way of talking. And
if you have also not seen season 2 Asylum,
which I haven't,
this is the reporter, the investigative journalist who went undercover in the Briarcliff insane asylum and came out at the end. Mm-hmm. Lana Winters,
right? And all wrapped up with bloody face, which I also don't understand the reference, but I understand it's an asylum thing.
Too complicated to explain.
I loved the big flowery Laura Winters or Lana Winters font logo all the historical.
Hey, she's got an intro.
That's true. I got multiple intros, just not the one I wanted. There was like 6 intros in this one.
It wasn't until the end of the story that I realized that there were so many different TV shows. Not once, except for a couple minutes at the end of this episode, have we been off camera for any of these things. There's some camera shots that that are questionable.
Oh, sure,
yes,
sure.
But
honestly,
I have to give props to Ryan Murphy because that's
the only time it felt really conceited is when they had the stars with the cell phones that were only cameras. Like that shit. There was an episode there where I'm like, get the fuck. But honestly, as big of a shit show it could be, if only one episode out of 9 was really, or out of 10 was really glaringly bad for that very limited reason, I thought they did a pretty good job with the conceit. So the other question I had is like these images of the younger Lana Winters, or were those from that season? Ah, okay, cool. So, I mean, she asked this disarming question about how are you, and I just thought all of this stuff was just felt like a heightened version of these kind of gotcha interviews. And then at the end of it, you find out that
it's a gotcha interview.
Yeah. Like, oh, say something to your daughter. And then now where is she? Because we know you've abducted her. She just went missing from her home an hour ago. Where is she? And of course, Lee flips out and storms off the set and decides she's got to go find her.
Almost storms off the set.
Oh, almost until a Polk guy. The last surviving member of the Polk family crashes through, says he's going to dispense justice. Lana spends like a good 5 minutes in a monologue where she's talking about how you don't want to do this. The trite way that the hero gets the villain to put down the gun and realize they're a bad person. And at the end of it, he gets a thoughtful look on his face and just smashes her in the melon with the butt of his rifle, which I thought was hilarious.
Very funny.
He
said she talks too much.
She talks too much. And then the cops come in and give him a technical difficulty to deal with. So the Polks, who up until this episode, I thought that because Ryan Murphy said, I'm building something towards the future with this episode. I thought that that he's saving the Polks for future episodes.
Well, there are still 2 Polk kids out there.
Oh, the feral
that
children.
That got taken away.
Fuck, you're right. And also, they could go back in time to see, like, the origins of the Polk clan.
Yeah, Ryan Murphy can do whatever he wants. Just go back in time.
He's a madman. No one will stop him. So then we have the November 18th episode of Spirit Chasers, where these dumb fucks, Bob and Dave, along with Amy, Andrea's short-lived sister from season 1 of The Walking Dead, Joining up with Ashley Gilbert, who played Cricket on the American Horror Story, on Roanoke Nightmare.
Yep.
And this stuff, again, is just so good. These guys are like, oh, you know, no one's been allowed filming permits, and we see that they put up a big steel fence around the house because people have gone in and vandalized it and done all kinds of crazy shit. It's turned into, well, I was about to do a Breaking Bad spoiler, and it's been a few years, but I'm still laying low with that.
I like how Ryan Murphy decided to make this guy's actor, or this guy's actor, real name, Ashley Gilbert, when this actor's real name is Leslie Jordan. Very similar to having a...
Right.
What do you call it? Androgynous first name. And
it's funny because I looked up
a first
Ashley,
name for a last name.
I looked up Ashley Gilbert, and I guess that's the name of a fairly famous Victoria's Secrets model.
Oh, did you accidentally look that up?
I did. I didn't expect to have a whole bunch of scantily clad
but
blonde
girl in
my
face.
But
you
enjoyed it anyway. Yeah, you know. Victoria's Secrets hasn't done much for me since I discovered porn on the internet.
There's Kardashians modeling for them now. So that
really?
Should reinvigorate your interest.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about those I'm all about the Kardashians. And I love when Cricket or Ashley gets there and he's just like, "Y'all ready to catch some ghosts?" Oh God, he's so cute.
I love him. I got him back, and I got Russell Edgington this episode. So
just a little bit, just
maybe
enough
it wasn't so unsatisfactory after all.
That's what I'm saying. He made it very clear that Sydney didn't ask him back. But then it's funny because he starts to be like outraged as an actor. But he's like, but in the end, that was, it turns out, fortunate. A good career move to not get invited back. And they do just a bunch of stupid ghost hunter shit. They've got the cameras set up and the infrared cameras set up. And the like all these real life ghost hunter things are a hoot, I think. Mm-hmm. It's just grown ass people scaring themselves in the dark.
Yeah, it's so fun.
And committing to film for whatever reason. So then Lee, which would be the ultimate for one of these shows, the person it's about, shows up randomly in the middle of the night. And they're, of course, like, oh, my God, this is ratings gold.
I thought for a second that she was repossessed, but...
I did, too.
Now I'm starting to think that her previous witch possession makes her invulnerable from the murders this episode until, you know, Priscilla kills her by choice.
Yeah, like, so was there some bad blood between the butcher lady and the witch? Because
that would be a great thing for them to have explored this season.
Because it does seem like the witch, more than anything, held out the way for you to achieve vengeance on your enemies.
Right. Like, what was her ultimate design on Matt?
Yeah.
Why was there bad blood between her and the butcher? Unless she doesn't have any attachment to these women that she's using. Mm-hmm. She's just using them to... you know, spread the message or whatever.
Or she could be like a Loki type figure that who's just in it for the lulz, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to be the spoiler.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's a lot left of that character that I don't fucking understand. And Lee's essentially saying the whole time, like, you guys are fucking stupid for being here, and she's rightfully so, and this house is going to rip that frat boy smile off your face. And I was thinking, at what point would you, as a rational person... in this particular circumstance, get so caught up with how sincere this person is being and the history of this place, you're like, you know what? I might not believe in ghosts, literally, but maybe it's not such a great idea for me to be here right now.
And you asked me that question while we were watching it. At the same time, you could see the infrared camera with the cold chin climbing
picking
on the wall.
Picking up the chin spider,
and
yeah.
I was like, it's then.
Yeah,
that's the
yeah.
time.
There's nothing on that wall. I can see it goes, yeah, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Like, I think, you know, after the first, second, maybe the third door slam where I'm like, all right, that's not wind. There's something going on. This person who's seen death multiple times is telling me to go, and she showed up out of the middle of nowhere. Yeah, I think that I would be out.
So then Amy, Andrea's sister from The Walking Dead, comes down and says, you guys, I recorded some weird voices on the camera. Then at literally the same time, doors start slamming, Pigman appears, Ashley goes up and screams Croatoan in his face, and I'm like, well, that's pretty fucking smart, but it didn't work.
No.
So we have...
no answers to that.
Because there's the thing, like, presumably all the season one stuff was... built on real live testimony of the survivors.
I'm starting to think that
did they juice a lot of stuff up and just make it sexy for television?
Exactly. I mean, the witch was sexy, the butcher was sexy. I mean, compared to their actual versions of themselves.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely.
It just makes me wonder, like, what was the real interactions with them and Mott? What was the real interactions between them and the, like what stuff? What did things really? What things were real in that first season? But we're not going to get those answers ever.
I mean, they probably ran into the underground tunnel and they were like, oh my God, there's this crazy ghost that's got this powdered wig.
Did he just, but like, was he standoff? Did they have a conversation at all? Was this, like, I don't know.
Nah.
So anyway, the everyone shows up at this point. The Chin girl comes down on, like, a spider and grabs the pork ear of the hosts. The nurses manifest and start... chasing down the more frat boy looking of it. The spirit chasers are now running. The butcher kills Andrea's sister. A hail of arrows kills the last chaser that's surviving, and a cameraman and a bunch of cops. And now we have a Roanoke hostage situation. And now
again,
Ryan Murphy is
who
doing...
summoned the police?
Good question.
Yet again, the police are there right in time for what?
Yeah, like who would have called them? And, like, who would have called 911 in this circumstance?
The Chins.
Lee? Why would Lee do that?
She wouldn't.
Yeah. The Chins. You can still make your ghost fingers call 911. anyway, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's, like, motion detectors in the house, or they have the fence wired for... but whatever. There's now a Roanoke hostage situation, and Ryan Murphy gets to stage a live-action television event. And we have William Van Henderson getting an opinion, because apparently they're calling anyone and everyone who's ever spoken to the cast and crew, and this is Russell Edgington.
He's got the best names on all of these shows.
William Van Henderson, and the thing he took away from meeting Lee briefly is that she wears Shalimar. and also, he wants it on the record that he was asked to come back to Roanoke.
He's got the email chain.
He's got the email chain. He just, you know, presciently decided not to. Then they cut to National Treasure Lana Winters, and he says, "It looks like you're at home resting comfortably." And she's like, "Yes, indeed." And I just thought, this stuff is so intentionally fucking funny. I don't know how you don't like it, but people don't. And she goes on this opinion that I understand Lee, because we are two women who trouble seems to walk beside, and we're both capable of singular thought. We're like a dog with a bone. The things we latch onto become our destiny, and we have to see it through. And that's what Lee is like with her daughter. So I don't give a shit about Lana Winters enough for her to allow Ryan Murphy to recontextualize what I think of Lee in a 30-second monologue.
No, just, I think that's the joke here, is that during the actual television interview, Lee draws a comparison between herself and Lana rejects that. And yeah. Now that there's a different kind of story to tell, she's accepting and embracing mm-hmm. that idea.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on to Lee and Flora upstairs, and she's trying to start small conversation with Flora, and Flora's not really having it. And she talks about, she notices that Flora is drawing in the dust a picture of her and Priscilla in the woods, and she makes a really smart analogy about parenting with drawing, and how, like, in your head, your drawing always looks flawless and it's exactly like the dog or bunny rabbit you're trying to draw. And then when you actually get into practice, it gets distorted. And that's like, you know, when you have a newborn baby, you're like, ah, this is going to be the perfect child and I'm going to be the perfect parent. And mm-hmm. that shit don't last usually through the hospital stay.
So this is,
and I like that. That's a nice moment. If I gave a shit about Lee and or Flora, it might've actually got to my shriveled black heart. But alas, it did not. And she comes, and I love how she spins like this 3-minute Hallmark moment with, and Flora comes back with, "You killed Daddy. I saw you." And I'm like, yep, that's pretty much the problem. This is the rock and a hard place you put yourself with this character's Murphy. And she says, "I want to stay here." And she refuses to leave. And Lee starts warming up to the idea that maybe you should leave because you need a chance to live a full life. But I will stay and be Priscilla's mommy. And you can come visit us, just not during the blood moon, because yeah. God knows we don't need another season of this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe one day you'll learn to forgive. I mean, that I can see a season where they just choked up a little bit on how much of a monster Lee was in the early goings and making her, like, arguably the villain of last episode.
Right. I mean,
this really works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's more of a tragic circumstance that her daughter hates her for no reason. Maybe her father turned her against her, or her grandparents or something. But, like, great idea, just the execution was betrayed by everything that came before.
Yeah.
But anyway... And then Flora's like, well, let's ask Priscilla what she thinks. I'm like, okay, let's ask the creepy little ghost girl what she thinks. Then we cut outside, and the cops notice that there's smoke coming from the house, but no, it's actually gas. The house fucking explodes, and they make it very clear that the front door gets blown off its hinges. And then Flora manages to walk out unscathed. Then, for some reason, there's an even larger explosion that comes next that just devastates the house and sets the whole thing on fire. Like,
it was Priscilla pulling the trigger.
No, I know why it happened, but I'm saying if the house is full of gas, you can't have, like, a gas explosion and then 1 minute later another gas explosion.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I don't think I care.
Well, I'm just, the reason, because do you remember when that house in Greenwood exploded?
You mean, the house on the south side, yeah.
Yeah, so I heard that explode from Greenfield.
Mm-hmm.
Like a house that's literally that full of gas, if it exploded, would just, there'd be nothing left but toothpicks.
There wasn't.
Yeah. But I'm saying this house just kind of caught lightly on fire.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. I was just trying to make fun of the show, and you're not having it. So, whatever. I had personal experience on the issue, and it's just all going down in flames.
That's fine.
Like the house did
Reasonable
not.
People can disagree.
But
about how much they care about the explosion. Like, when people blink when they shoot guns, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Big bugaboo with me. So Flora sees her mom and Priscilla standing in the woods. Also, why do all the other ghosts bear obvious signs of their trauma, and Flora just got
That's
shot?
That's what I'm fucking saying.
Lee just got shot through the chest and set on fire, and she still looks like she stepped out of a Sears catalog.
Priscilla looks like an asshole, and Lee's fine.
Yeah. Lee, she's wearing the... Kathy Lee
the butcher killed her children by slitting their throats, but they're cool. They're fine.
Yeah.
The hunter's face is gone.
Yeah.
The Chens are now spider people. Like, what
right.
the fuck?
Yeah. And then...
To be fair, we did not see them die.
True. Then Lee and Priscilla enter the woods and hold hands, and Flora leaves with the cop car, and then we pull out to see just scores and scores of colonists descending upon the burning house. And presumably the police and reporters under the blood moon. And we end with the Roanoke card. It's no longer my Roanoke nightmare. It's no longer 3 days in hell. It's no longer ghost chasers. It's just Roanoke.
Can I submit again the theory that Ryan Murphy will have a opening credit sequence on the DVDs or Blu-rays?
It would be nice.
Is that what you want?
I mean, probably not, because I have yet to own a... American Horror Story DVD set or Blu-ray.
Would you buy it to watch it?
No, I just watch it on YouTube.
This is why I miss Blockbuster or Family Video being around.
Yeah,
us.
I could just... I'd take a $3.99 poke at it, sure.
Yeah, it wouldn't even cost that much. I legitimately like renting movies.
Yeah.
And the library's selection is too limited.
And that's the thing, like, you can still rent... Everyone's like, I don't want to be like, oh, you know, there's on demand. Yes, you can... But I would like to be able to rent the entire, like, Blu-ray. I want to be able to, for 24 hours, check out the special features, mm-hmm. check out the commentaries. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where they need to go with this on-demand shit.
Yeah, there's no service out there where you can get the experience of all the special features.
And there's no reason you can't
without
nowadays.
Buying the actual physical media.
It's just us as consumers decided that we're just not, I mean, I don't know. I can't fucking understand why I can't get a commentary track. When I'm renting something on demand.
For real. I love commentary.
Yeah, that's one thing I miss about physical media. Any other lost minute thoughts? Lost minute thoughts, my lady, before we move on into the feedback? I'm just going to... I don't know what accent that was.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
No, I don't have anything.
All right. Cody S. is first on the block. Said, I just want to write in and say that I haven't watched a single episode of this show this season, but I've enjoyed your recaps.
Oh, interesting.
This is an interesting email that I found amusing. The reason is, while I like the idea of AHS to show, it is total shit, and as much as everyone complains about how shit it is, they still watch it. I tried watching the first episode of the first season in the premiere, but I couldn't get into it, and I tried to watch the end of the episode, same for the first episode of the second season. The most I've ever watched of American Horror Story was season 5, or should I say hate-watched, because the only reason I watched it is because someone I was friends with at the time made me watch it when we hung out at his apartment on Thursdays, I want to say. I just wanted to... Yeah, no, no, stay with it. Stay with it. I just wanted to play Call of Duty Advanced Warfare or something, but he wouldn't allow it. And he wouldn't allow me to talk during it or really anything. This isn't a, this is just a, this is a, my Roanoke nightmare situation.
Ditch this guy as a friend.
Yeah, man.
Go play Call of Duty by yourself. There's plenty of people online that are like-minded.
I tried to like it, but every second was awful besides the rare, interesting, Twisty the Clown scene. The acting was all horrible. The characters were all unlikable.
Wait a minute.
The dialogue all unreal and stilted, and the episodes were so stretched. The slow pace was torture.
The only season he's watched is Freak Show?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The friend didn't even let me watch the finale. He left the room to hang out with his pot-smoking roommates he was trying to impress. But I, parenthetically, an anti-drug person, did just get closure on the awful show and wasted a huge chunk of my life. I remember the first episode that introduced Dandy. I guessed he would kill all the freaks, but I never thought it would be the actual finale. I was simply astounded. I thought it would happen way before, and then the freaks got some sort of weak-ass revenge on him. Yawn, what a shit show. I'm no longer friends with the guy, and safe to say I haven't watched an episode since.
Good.
Clint, can we just... Good job for breaking free of this abusive relationship, man.
Clearly
that's
not
some bullshit.
Working for you, buddy.
Anyway, that's my AHS experience I wanted to share. I do wish the show was as good as there are some horror TV shows I've enjoyed, and now that Supernatural and Sleepy Hollow have become crap. Unfortunately, I have standards. I'm very particular about my horror I like, but again, I enjoyed your recaps. So there you go. Always with Bald Move, the option not to watch a show, just listen to the recaps.
I haven't watched Walking Dead in seasons, many seasons, but I still listen every week of your recap.
That's because you're still trying to win the Superfan Award.
Fuck you, I've already got a ring.
I was gonna
say. Who else can say that? No, who else? Who wants it?
Yeah.
It's too much pressure.
She'll fight you. Yeah, just show up.
No, I'm offering it. I'm offering
really?
It.
Okay.
The mantle, it's ready to be passed.
Just throw the ring over your shoulder, like, you know, wedding style. You know,
can you
like
edit in that
style.
Ring throwing sound now?
Yeah, here it goes. Brent J. Seriously, guys, this is probably the worst finale in the series. It only gave me one real laugh. The magic Uber driver managed to get Flora from L.A.
Oh,
to Roanoke.
Yes.
There's no other explanation.
She's not from L.A. That's the explanation.
Yeah, the grandmothers are in the Carolinas, so... But she did have to take an Uber driver. She
Lee,
did have to take an Uber.
Lee and Mason is established. They've always lived in this area.
Their
That's
family's
the reason,
from there, yep.
That's the reason they moved there.
Shelby's the white girl in the leggings from L.A.
Yes.
But no, how did Flora, like, did Uber driver just pick up this 12-year-old girl and be like, all right,
if they had,
you got an
if
Uber
If they had
app.
Thrown a scene of that guy driving her to this house.
Wouldn't that have been awesome?
Right.
He's just sitting there with this dumb look on his face and she's in the back.
That
would
have been, I mean, I would have bought that. I would have not have rolled my eyes. I mean,
Plus
maybe,
this,
but I would have laughed out loud.
Who cares? This episode is so eye-rolling anyway and tongue-in-cheek and funny. That would have been I feel like that's an unforced error by Murphy. No one would have disliked that.
No.
Just lean
into that. I
dislike
the fact that a little girl is just out in the woods watching people get murdered and traipsing around with another little gross girl. Like, I haven't seen worse parenting since Walking Dead season 2.
Jack S. Cue the worst episode of the season. Very little content in this week, but the whole thing still seemed incredibly rushed. Once again, the show pretends as if this Roanoke Nightmare TV show was God's gift to TV, and really wasn't all that great. I thought the season 2, 3 Days in Hell, had a prelude saying that it was unreleased. So then how did it get on TV with no producers or staff left to produce it? Did police collect the videotapes and make it into a TV show? It would be funny if 3 Days in Hell was actually a cop special.
Yeah.
What you going to do when they come for you? Also, Lee got away with everything when going to court. Then we have Lana Banana Winters' return for what, again, I don't really know. Polk turns up and gets shot. That's one less loose end tied up, I suppose. Then we're returning to the house with a beardly girl and some other bloke who are killed quickly. Lee is then there and blows up the house with gas, which would have taken hours to fill up. And still, no bloody intro. Lots of angry people this week, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Nate from Tallahassee says, "Hey, Hubbards. Why was Evan Peters' ghost characters ever needed for anything? Was it just a way to bring Evan Peters back and they had no plot and the real ghost didn't do anything?" Yes, Nate! What, you want Evan Peters not to come back to American Horror Story?
Yeah.
That's un-American Horror Story for you to suggest such a thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Sarah Paulson was the only great actress for me this season other than Angela, tough SOB Bassett. Thanks for a good podcast on a mediocre season. Aaron, don't forget Cecily wants more Uggs and pumpkin spice lattes for Christmas. Got it down. Dan from Oxford. Murphy has managed to disappoint watchers not once, but twice this season. After offering a glimpse of something new and interesting in both episodes 1 and 6, I honestly thought he may have taken fan criticisms on board and opt to write a simple, story-driven, horror-centric season with 20-plus cast and too many story threads to tie up. But no, this season has been a mess with very little substance. The finale is almost unrecognizable in tone compared to episode 1, and it seems like Murphy didn't have a clear idea of the season as a whole. He threw themes, ideas, and characters out there and worked out which ones to pursue as the season went on. Yes, this is American Horror Story. A few points on episode 1. Why was the ground breathing? Why did it rain teeth? How come the reenactment butcher nonchalantly wandered off into the woods after being hit by Shelby's car? A little out of character, to say the least.
I think those things are just another one of the
Hollywood magic
projection things.
Yeah, they laid it on thick just to make it extra.
Exactly, because you see the real life reference to the teeth and the Polks making a teeth necklace.
Yeah, like it somehow protected them.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a Reddit user, it's frustrating to watch fans offer compelling theories on why characters are being irrational or explain away inconsistencies in the plot holes, only to find there's no clever reasoning behind any of them other than Murphy's piss-poor writing. The three-part format of this series was ambitious but ultimately didn't pay off because the Return to Roanoke section wasn't gritty or realistic. It was just littered with unbelievable characters and bad writing, just like episodes 1 through 5, not to mention Paulson's awful British accent. Episode 6 onwards really needed some dark, Black Mirror-esque realism and a genuinely shocking twist. Wasn't it maybe it didn't work, but, like, I found the preceding two episodes, like, episodes 7, 8, and 9 to be, well, I guess it's 8 and 9, to be almost unwatchably dark and depressing and not fun.
Yeah, I liked the first half and middle of the season. I did not mind it at all.
I think I liked the middle. There was, like, a 3-episode stretch there where they really were knocking it out of the park. Scary. Similarly to AHS Hotel, it felt like Murphy created characters purely to lift his largest cast rather than to progress the story. No doubt he'll do the same thing next season with the addition of Adina Porter, Cuba Gooding Jr., and Andre Holland. Murphy hasn't written a compelling or relatable character since AHS Asylum, and I don't think I'll bother sticking around for season 7. Aaron, please watch Asylum and do a cast on it. We shall see. There's a lot of time between now and next
season. That is my favorite season, and I really want you to watch that.
Well, it'll probably happen. Because
I've only got two seasons
to
watch. It's
going to
be super easy.
I know. I'm not unwilling, but you're like, today, you're like, we should go home and watch Asylum. I'm like, oh, Jesus, no. I just got done with the American Horror Story. So I need a month or two.
Like you said, I can be persistent.
And persuasive. Nate P., was anyone else thinking that Murphy was going to go down the route of anyone who watched the show will also be murdered by the butcher as soon as these YouTube videos came out?
That just is a Black Mirror plot.
Just imagine, the popularity of the TV show creates a Bloody Mary-style killing spree with blood moons just popping up all over the world. Good point, because there's nothing special about the blood moon over Roanoke.
Like, yes, there is.
That's
the ground breathes.
Only in the remake, not in the original. Like, yeah, like it would have been funny if that.
I
like
for our podcast to be as consistent as a Ryan Murphy series.
It would
just
have been
constantly contradicting ourselves.
It would have been funny if my reaction when Lee Harris is wronged, girl, was at the end of it, like the butcher just came out and chopped her head off.
Right, just in her YouTube video. Sure. in London,
Sydney, Melbourne,
somewhere,
South Africa. Who
Where's
knows?
Paley Fest at?
Is
that one of those
moon.
Southern ones?
I think it's in the moon.
The moon?
I think actually Paley Fest, that's New York, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't know. I thought it was New York.
All right. For the up to the minute news of geographical locations, please subscribe
fan
to
fest
Bald Moon.
That we probably won't ever go to. Or festivals that we won't ever go to. Also, we can point out that Murphy introduced too many plot elements to count and didn't seem to adequately use most of them. At least they remembered to blow up the house at the end, unlike what they should have done at the hotel. Yeah, definitive closure was nice.
Right, with this season, well, that's where you're wrong. The definitive closure does not exist because Ryan Murphy says that this is the introduction to a future season, this ending. This season was nice and concise in that it only had 10 episodes.
Yes.
But I think it suffered from lack of storytelling, where in all the other seasons, Ryan Murphy has too much. Like, he throws so much in there that he can't even wrap it up and have any ends.
I think most of the threads he opens. I appreciate he didn't do the 13-episode season. I kind of think this would have been better as an 8. Like, if you took 2 episodes worth of fat, you're starting to get to something that people would, like, sit up and be like, okay, all right, this is scary. It's got some camp, reset some of the tension and start rebuilding it. But it's still somehow too long and too bloated, even at 10 episodes. Not somehow. I mean, it's very easily to see how they got to where they're at.
Bloated.
Yeah.
How so?
I just thought that there's a couple of episodes where nothing really happened that was interesting. Like, in the first 5, there was at least one solid episode that was crap. In the middle section, the middle section was tight. And this last, 4-episode stretch, like, that torture porn could have been completely condensed into 1 episode, I think.
Yes.
That's why I'm talking about flab and blubber. Nate P. needs some closure about the Uber driver. I mean, having Flora be picked up by him would have been perfect.
It would have been so good. Have her dropped off and picked up by him.
Or...
because he just, stopped asking questions about who he dropped off here a long time ago.
Or if he picked her up from the house at the end. That would have been funny, too.
Did her car escape, I wonder?
I think so. I think we saw them going down the lane, implying that she'd get out.
Right, but then when they zoom out, they're already taking over the whole road.
I guess.
But I think it's implied that she got out, to be honest.
I think so, too. I don't know why people are surprised at this point when AHS doesn't have a good finale, considering they've been generally underwhelming since at least season 3.
Hello, thank you.
Finally, as someone who frequents London a lot and is British, that was every accent but London. That was the true British horror story.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm glad. That's the thing. Like, I'm kind of glad that I'm mostly insensitive to accents, because
right,
I hear that a lot. Like, people from South America and Central America saying they can't enjoy Narcos because those guys just have a shitty Colombian accent. I'm like, man, that's nice to not have to worry about that.
I mean, sure, but if you were watching an Asian horror and they're trying to do a Southern accent, you would know instantly if it's good or bad.
Oh, yeah. Sure. No, totally.
And I don't think Audrey's was bad. Feedbackers, one today, said her accent was bad. But the YouTubers was, noticeably
really
terrible.
Sure. Kate from Melbourne. Holy shit, what was the point? I was waiting for the other shoe to drop the whole entire time, waiting for the moment to show within a show, within a show, within a show, to start making sense and have some meaning. What were the writers trying to tell me? Is it a post-colonial commentary about stealing land? Is it a commentary about modern media and obsession with reality TV at any cost? Which thread am I meant to identify with the most? Lee's desperation, Flora's despondency, the creepy Polk's grief, the public obsession with the house? I wanted to punch them all in the face for being so stupid. How much more confirmation do these people need to tell them that Roanoke House is haunted? Sarah Paulson's cameo as Lana Winters felt anticlimactic, especially considering the teaser for this week that was released last week. It was short-lived and felt a bit forced, to be honest, although congratulations for Paulson for actually surviving the season as Lana. I seriously can't believe that this was the season. To me, it felt like nothing really happened. There were some interesting revelations, like Matt fucking the Woods Witch, but that thread was just left dangling, and obviously now we'll never know how and why that all went down.
Right, the last time we saw the Woods Witch, she was screaming about Matt having left her in the cellar, the Lady Gaga Wood Witch.
Right. When it just became the normal AHS in the end, for me, it felt so anticlimactic. Was it really the big twist that I've been waiting for? Be honest, I'm underwhelmed and disappointed. I'd put up with torture porn, believing that there'd actually be a big, interesting turn of events at the end, and I feel like the payoff wasn't that great.
Agreed.
Josh F. enjoyed the episode for what it was, although it seemed really short and kind of anticlimactic to me. I didn't see what Ryan Murphy had been talking about, the finale setting up the future seasons, unless it was really veiled hints in the background. So Kate P. sent in an article from PopSugar.com, and they are of the opinion that, do you remember early in the season, in like the 3rd episode, it was established that Lee had another daughter?
No.
That she gave up for a daughter, so that she lost somehow.
I thought she was saying that she died.
Yeah, she died. Yeah. That she had lost, and that Flora wasn't her first. they are making an argument that there is going to be a story going forward with this little girl. I think Emma is her name, and Flora, like the, like another ghost girl type relationship.
Okay.
Or something like there's something horrific about because clearly Lee was disturbed. So.
Right.
And that never made it onto the Cracked episode. You'd think that would, you know, instead of just going right to like Lee's greatest joy when Flora was born, like you'd touch on the tragedy of her first child.
Right.
Especially since it's public record and all that. But yeah,
which is why I don't think it's going to happen, because Ryan Murphy would have remembered to incorporate that if he was going to use it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, so what do you think is the hook if you don't think it's Emma or whatever the girl's name was? What do you think is the hook going forward?
The Woods Witch.
The Woods Witch? But there was nothing in this episode about that in particular.
I think she's going to be the next or the first Supreme, and they're going to tell that story.
I did like to touch that the scare chasers or whatever their name was, the fright chasers, they said that I haven't been this freaked out since
spirit
that time.
Spirit chasers.
Since that time in the asylum. So are they the camera crew from the asylum?
Nope, they must have just gone back to visit, because when asylum starts, it's modern day, abandoned, all overgrown. So they probably just went back to that area and explored it too. Mm-hmm. It was just a fun callback. All but right. No, we haven't seen these kids before.
Go ahead. Gabe in California says, I'm probably one of the few that thought this is the best season so far, but I have to say the season finale was corny as fuck. Let me unpack this. To me, I always ask myself, like, what is the best season? And I still think that for me, the Coven season was the best. And the most in the blend of what I think American Horror Story. And then I think Freak Show is the clear least favorite. And I'm honestly kind of juggling where I think Hotel... I think Roanoke was better than Hotel because at least it was scary.
Do we want to talk about Hotel, how we rate the seasons at the end, or are we doing it now?
Let's do it now, because...
Okay.
So again, not having seen the two widely held as best seasons, I think it goes Coven number one, and then Freak Show is dead last, and I guess I would put Roanoke above Hotel just because it was genuinely scary. Even though I thought the characters, even though they were campy and dumb, they were more interesting in the Hotel season.
Right. I would say...
Like for Russell, Liz Taylor was fucking incredible.
Yeah. I would say Asylum is my favorite. And this is just in order of my favorites and the things that worked for me, not in what I think were technically best in the storytelling.
What
and
does
all
that even mean with a show like this?
Asylum, Coven, Hotel, Roanoke. What am I missing?
Murder House.
Murder House, Freak Show.
So Murder House is towards the bottom for you, huh?
You know what? I think I really started to invest in the show.
Every time you say, you know what, I think you're about to say, fuck you.
You know what? Fuck you.
That's exactly the same expression you do when you follow. It's like, you know what? You know what? Fuck you.
Again, by my personal choice, these are the ones I like most. I think I really started to invest in the show in season three when it became more of a show about adult relationships. Mm-hmm. The first two seasons were... No, that's wrong. The first season is what I mean. The first season is focused primarily as like a teenage love story. And I could do without ever seeing one of those ever again.
Young adult. Blah.
Yeah. YA.
Too much young. I mean, I think young adult you need a little bit, but there's too much young adult nowadays. Too much young adult for my taste.
Yeah. I think I messed up my order of...
So where'd you put Murder House? I think that's the only one that you're...
No, it's at the bottom. Okay. I think I put Coven higher than I meant for it to be.
Oh. Well, would you put... How would you adjust that then?
Man, that's tough. All right. So Asylum, Hotel, Coven,
Roanoke,
Murder House, Freak Show.
All right.
That's what I mean.
I think... Most people, the thing is, like, even Freak Show, the legit freaks were fascinating, and getting the behind the scenes information on them was amazing, and I really liked the musical numbers.
Yeah, I think I could benefit from another watch of Coven, but I mostly wrote that off as being a bad season because of the teenage love triangle. Even like, yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, the love triangle.
I don't think Thaisa Farmiga is a particularly strong actress. You know, she does the same Kristen Stewart thing where it's just like dead flat affect.
I like Kathy Bates, Undead Southern Belle,
right?
Slave,
which is
holder,
what I'm saying. I could probably benefit from, you know, appreciating Angela Bassett more and Jessica Lange while she's still there.
And that's the thing. Like every season of American Horror Story that I've seen has something that I'm glad I saw it for.
Yeah,
you know, there's not been a whole season where I'm just like, this was a fucking waste of time from top to bottom.
Yeah, and you know, I think I dislike Murder House the most because the unbelievable teenage forever romance, that idea needs to die in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
But also the really unbelievable adult relationship between the protagonist, man and woman. Well, protagonist is a strong mm-hmm. word. But, you know, the woman who's so strong and independent but stays with the man who cheats on her repeatedly. And it was gross. And I thought she was better than that.
Right.
That's it.
Gabe continues. A lot of the stuff we talked about, what was up with the fake-looking news broadcast? Why did cops show up to the house when the corny, cheesy ghost hunters were being killed? Why, yes. After police got shot up with arrows, did they still think Lee was holding her daughter hostage and now dead?
That's true.
That's a good point. Did they really think that Lee shot a
rain of arrows?
Volleys of either one at a time or a volley and killed several police officers and camera guy.
Especially the same police force that's in on it. That knows what's going on, knows that you look right up and it's a blood moon.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they had some arrow analysis guy. We think she's almost out of arrows.
Yeah.
She's armed with a bow, but no arrows. That's a really good point there, Gabe. Is it also just me, or does the actress who plays Lee always sound like she has a stuffy nose?
Meh.
One thing I noticed about, what's her name?
Adina Porter.
Adina Porter, is her jaw is asymmetrical.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she had some kind of She took a blow to the face at some point and had to have facial reconstructive surgery.
Right, like a car crash or something like that.
Yeah,
I
didn't want to make it seem like she looked like a monster, but like something like, you know, like Mark Hamill, like noticeably different looking from Star Wars to Empire Strikes Back, because he did. He had a massive car accident.
Hashtag not my Luke.
Yeah. But I do feel like that... you know, whoever, if that's a possibility that, you know, maybe there's some kind of dance. Because, she does. She's got a weird kind of off-center jaw, and she is kind of nasally. And I just wonder if there is an explanation beyond genetics for that. And I feel like I'm really walking a tightrope.
You really are.
Really
razor
walking
thin.
A tightrope.
Yeah.
So, you know, my thing is I just got hit by the ugly stick. It's all genetics.
You didn't.
And my nasally vocal fry voice is all natural, not trauma based.
You've got a face for podcasts.
Yeah, I do. Clay from California said, just curious, this is my first season of American Horror Story. Well, welcome aboard. And I really dug it. So here's the thing. I will say right straight up, Clay, it's no coincidence that season that I watched was also my favorite. Like, 'cause there is really nothing like this on television.
Uh-huh.
He says, I'm not a horror fan, but I found myself enjoying the vibe of the show throughout the season. Any recommendations on which season to go to from here? I tried watching the first episode of Hotel, and I checked out after the guy from The New Girl got the screwdriver dildo up his beehole. Also, the joy of seeing Cricket walk... Okay, so let's take that first. It seems like from you and I, our consensus would either be Asylum or Coven.
Yes, Asylum. Even though there is some slight, the very slightest torture porn because there is mm-hmm. a Nazi doctor involved. Mm-hmm. Wink. Asylum.
You can't have a Nazi doctor that torture porn.
Right.
So
we already read our list of how we rank the season.
So
just
those
go back to that.
I will say that then depending on whether you like camp, so watch those two, and then depending on whether you like more camp
Right. Season one is all about ghosts. Season two is about aliens and Nazi doctors. Season three is about witches. Season four.
Yeah,
is that right? Season four?
No, three is about witches.
That's
four
what
is
I said.
About freaks.
Four is about freaks. Five is about hotel. Well, you know, what five's like, about. It's like a ghost trapped forever, vampires.
And
really.
Also
and season
that
six is about.
I'm going to spoil something for you. That drill bit demon doesn't ever really pay off.
No, it so does. Like that's the worst that it gets.
If you're worried about forcible beehole drama, it's pretty smooth sailing.
Yeah, if you made
point.
It past that, then that's the worst you'll see, really.
And that season is like, again, like it's the fucking Liz Taylor. Did I say fair before?
No.
Okay, Liz Taylor is amazing. I thought Gaga is amazing. I thought Kathy Bates was really good in that season.
Yeah. The Ryan Murphy said that the
Angela Bassett, oh my god,
the drill beehole scene was the most fucked up thing he's ever done on American Horror Story.
Okay.
Agree or disagree?
I mean, forcibly raping someone with a drill bit, pretty. I mean, I don't
this
know.
Same,
like
this same person also described what's his name, Jether. I forget the actor's name, Jether, the guy who gives Lee snorts some powder with her and almost, you know, has sex with her.
Oh yes,
that
yes.
guy described him as the most fucked up character he's ever done in American Horror Story. So use that as a metric.
I mean, the thing is like it starts to get like very subjective. What's the most fucked up thing you've ever seen? What's
absolutely
the most fucked up
absolutely obviously he thinks that getting drilled up the beehole is the worst thing, the most fucked up thing that you could see on the first episode, sure, but it doesn't get worse than that.
I guess I would rather be drilled up to beehole than have my guts torn out and burnt before my eyes, or be impaled with a 2x4 through my beehole up through my shoulder blade. Like,
oh, that's a Saturday night for me. Tonight, a few hours. Let's get out of here.
Clay says, also the joy of seeing Cricket walking up the driveway at the beginning of Spirit Chasers was one of those magic moments of television. Totally agreed. Much like the moon landing or the last episode of MASH, 20 years from now, people will still ask each other, where were you when Cricket came back to the Roanoke house? Glad to be part of television history with you. Well, thank you, Clay. It's very kind. And hopefully we'll all be back next season.
Hopefully.
Susan A. Something you might find odd or amusing or totally Ryan. What?
Oh, I was doing the American Horror Story theme music while you were talking.
Oh, because I could see your mouth moving, but I was so loud. I'm like, what is happening?
Do you ever listen to these podcasts?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I do that a lot. I'll slip some hidden tracks in there.
Yeah, Jim does the same thing where, like, he, because I'm focused
gold.
On making my point, I miss a lot of the shit that he's saying to make fun of me or the situation, and it's super fun to hear because, like, I'm hearing it for the first time. Anyway, here's something that you might find amusing, odd, or totally Ryan Murphy. I tried listening to another unnamed AHS podcast a couple weeks ago. Parenthetically, I know, I'm sorry.
How dare you?
Boo.
Well, I never.
It took itself and AHS way too seriously. They acted as if Murphy was weaving deep themes into his show, specifically in regard to Dominic and the Black Lives Matter movement. Examples they cited before I had to turn it off. Dominic in the confessional telling everyone that he, as a black man, would be playing the villain. He's the only one wearing a body camera. And the kicker, when Dominic dies, Audrey and Lee accuse him of killing Shelby, a white woman. When he's pleading with them, saying things like, just go to the tapes will prove I'm innocent, they're quick to judge and sentence him to death anyway. At first, I thought these dudes were smoking crack. Do you really think that Murphy would put that much thought and depth into the show? Look, I love American Horror Story, but it's no Mr. Robot or Westworld. I wouldn't really even call it a thinking man show. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be. But then I recently saw several Reddit posts with the same reaction, especially after Audrey got shot and killed by police.
Well, sure, but here's where you have to go with it. Is that the logical conclusion, if that's what Ryan Murphy is doing, is that the black woman is actually guilty and is pulling one over on all of us.
Here's
and
the
has
thing.
To pay for her crimes at the end. Like, I think that Ryan Murphy may have some intentions to have some deeper themes and meanings, but I don't actually think that he's well-versed in making it happen.
But this is the same man that made the American Crime Story about OJ that had a lot of not just insightful things about racial tensions in America, but like what it's like to be a woman in a traditionally male-dominated field and like you're not allowed to be sexual. And
that story was written for him. These are actual things that actually happened.
Yeah.
Like it opened this whole race conversation in America. Yes, it was already there.
True.
Martha, or what's her name?
He just captured it.
Marcia Clark actually got pictures of her topless printed in a tabloid.
Right.
While she's a very professional a prosecutor.
Right. And it somehow, it wasn't like, who's the creepy ex-husband that sent these videos? It was like, oh, she's a whore.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I feel like Murphy's heart's in the right place, and he could very well be in hinting to all this. But American Horror Story, whether that's the right vehicle for it or whether he's doing it particularly well, I don't know.
Yeah. And if that's the conclusion you're making, if that helps you open your eyes to some of the things that are going on, then fine. More power to you. But
I got to think that this podcast at this week is probably really, really outraged because none of that shit paid off, that they were kind of like, you know, when you're trying to ascribe these deeper motives and deeper themes and meanings and character developments that Ryan Murphy himself isn't thinking about. It's a recipe for fans to feel ripped off for no real good reason. Like, if you don't like American Horror Story, then, you know, stop watching the show. You don't have to. But if you like American Horror Story and get it into your head that's a better show than it really is, and then start saying, oh, wait until Murphy reveals his grand plot, well, then you're really going to be bummed.
Right.
And like in a, like a more hateful, destructive way.
Right,
so,
right. I said that in episode 2.
just don't take it so seriously, everybody. And then she says...
yeah, if you're listening to a podcast that I'm the co-star on, then switch off. your brain, that is.
And then
please listen.
Susan says, P.S.
I need you.
Point a finger at you. Susan says, P.S. I grew up in Ohio and I'm a huge Ohio State fan, wondering if you root for my beloved Buckeyes as well. Unfortunately not. I'm from Indiana and I'm, if anything, Indiana Hoosier fan. Well, I mean, football or basketball, yeah. Either way, if I had to be anything, it'd be Indiana, IU, basketball especially. But yeah, I don't have anything against you. I'm not like a Michigan State or Michigan fan, so there's that.
Yeah.
Mr. Sinister, I've come to realize that I hate watching this show, and I have been for a few seasons. Freak Show and Hotel. He actually said it had funny typo. It's Freak Sow. Freak Sow and Hotel held my Freak Sow held my interest for a bit, but they ended up shitting the bed before they were over. And Roanoke was a complete dumpster fire. I don't know. Perhaps it's because of the format of the seasons, based around programming that I loathe. I wouldn't mind it if Cecily worked her magic on this series like she has on a few others. Calling on your reputation for Undertaker. Alas, it's already been renewed for next season.
I feel like I was just bemoaning that this morning. Like, this is the one thing I can't kill. We're stuck. And Ryan Murphy's like, and now 2 seasons a year. And
that's going to be like, and that's going to be season 8. The fact that our podcasting is sustaining the dark power that keeps American Horror Story lurching forward.
Yeah, please mourn for me. I am the ghost that is tied to this podcast.
Yeah, how
and
did
cannot
Penny Dreadful,
leave.
How did Penny Dreadful get canceled? American Horror Story continues plowing. You know what, Penny Dreadful. If Penny Dreadful premiered in October, this shit wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It needs to be in the spooktacular season, because apparently you can put any old stupid shit, Walking Dead, American Horror Story, and reap giant profits, but you can't do that in the springtime. It just doesn't happen. Let's see. Fracken T. I thought this was a pretty good season overall. All right, Fracken, finally got a person willing to chug the Kool-Aid and put the rose-colored glasses on.
There we go.
I'm struck by how much of a departure it was. There was never any opening credits. There was never any real side stories or extra character threads. There was a lot less camp. There were no pink cupcake scenes, no Liz Taylor,
oh,
no
yes,
Kathy Bates' severed head being forced to watch Roots. That's so good. Instead, we got classic American ghost story slasher flicks with the entire tropey plotline. People are in a scary place. They don't leave when shit gets scarier. Someone gets killed, but everyone still stays. Massacre, rinse, repeat. I'm amazed at how good it turned out to be and that they were able to use the found footage format and somehow make it seem like the show was less self-aware and self-referential than it has been in the past. It's also true that I'm engaging with AHS less this season than I have in the past. I listen to the podcast and have occasionally commented here, but I don't have the buy-in this year that I did with Asylum or Hotel or even Freak Show.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I say this is a pretty good 6 or 7 hour horror movie, and I would definitely rewatch it. But as a season of AHS, I rank it near the bottom. I like the camp and the fun and the god-awful plot twists that lead to huge and ridiculous shocking moments, and all that fun was missed this year. I mean, I'd argue they tried to cram a lot into this last hour, but probably too little too late if you're a big camp fan. And there was some campy, like, I thought some of the actor portrayals were pretty tropey and fun in the middle going to. But
oh, yeah, definitely.
Hard to argue. Fracken's got his head screwed on straight. Wondered Object. I believe this is the last email of the season.
The whole season?
Yeah, we got We got a large amount of feedback. I actually had to make some cuts this week. I had to actually work as an editor.
We had an appropriate finale amount, right?
Yeah, no. Honestly, this show, like, doubled, almost tripled its audience from last year.
Really?
So, like, we finally got noticed, I guess.
They like me. They really like me.
Yeah, but we've built this up into a respectable undertaking.
Cool.
How do you feel about that? I mean, we're like knocking on House of Cards door as far as Bald Move popularity.
Mm-hmm.
Wondered Object. After setting the bar pretty low, I gotta say this season was fun. Sure, there was a bunch of problems, but I think the pros far outweighed the cons. I really enjoyed the direction they took, the reality show angle. It was different, and it worked, in my opinion at least. I don't really watch reality shows. It got a little too much POV towards the end, especially the penultimate episode, but still was watchable. The scares were great, and the real ghosts were pretty damn creepy. I wonder if that's one of the reasons, because, like, I'm aware of reality shows, but I don't watch a lot of it. So, like, if I was in a position where I was forced to watch, like, you know, like, say you were a really big reality fan and I had to watch several hours of that a week, maybe it would be bigger, more of a chore, but I just kind of like the sly nods to it myself.
Yeah.
I don't have a single problem with the way they staged the conceit of the season. That being said, Wondered says, the actual ending is a bit of a disappointment. Flora and Lee were just not that interesting, so to end it all with them was a bit of a meh. Overall, I'd give the season a 7.5. I'd recommend it to anyone who fell off the series. Best part was hardly any Lady Gaga.
Gasp.
I know, gasp. I know that's an unpopular opinion, but I think she's a pretty meh actress. So I was happy to see that her role decreased significantly. But
just cut this. I don't want to hear this.
Also, when she told Tristan last season, when Tristan says, "Could I get shot in the head and live?" She goes, "Bitch, please. Of course you would die." Like, maybe she's not a great actor, but that was pretty amazing. And you know what else is amazing?
I think she is classically trained, so I think that she would
as an actor.
Yeah. So I think she would be a much better, probably stage presence, and that's how she played it last season.
Well, she's definitely an amazing performer.
I don't see what was wrong with her this season.
Well, I mean, she didn't really get to do anything this season.
Exactly. So, like, I don't know what there is to critique, but
he's saying he's better because she was less in it. Anyway, the other interesting point he had to make was, man, the fan base for the series is like no other. Everyone is always all over the place. You could ask 5 people to rank their 2 favorite seasons, and you most likely wouldn't get the same answer.
Yeah.
I've seen people trash the season as the worst season in TV history. I've also seen people claim it's the best in a series. It's so interesting to me. If you go into a season expecting Breaking Bad quality, you're going to have a bad time. If you just sit back and watch it for what it is, you might enjoy it. I enjoyed this with a number of complaints, but Murphy has earned my trust again, and I can't wait for next season.
Yeah.
I do feel like this is one of, and I wonder if that's like, we've talked about this before, like one of the joys of owning a cat seems to be getting with other cat owners and telling about, essentially swapping asshole cat stories.
Yes.
Like, that's one thing. Like, you love to complain about these little beasts, these little terrors, these killing machines that live with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there's a little aspect of that. Part of the fun of AHS is a community that you can always find people that like the things you like and hate the things you... And it's just really easy to build a community around people simultaneously hating and loving something.
Right.
And, like, since it fluctuates on a week-to-week basis, it's not like you have this long stretch of cognitive dissonance where, like, I feel like I'm the only person that doesn't like where this is going. Or, you know, a lot of times, like, when the Mr. Robot this season, you got, like, this is an unpopular opinion, but I think this is blah, and then people downvote. Whereas American Horror, it just seems like it's always, like, a free-for-all. It's just a fucking mosh pit of fandom.
It is.
And I kind of like it.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is. Like, it's... If this was on the spring, I wouldn't probably give it, but I'm always in the mood for American Horror Story to come back on, and they always have the teasers and they, you know, all that stuff, and it gets me pumped. So,
mm-hmm.
And it's really hard for me to say where this thing sits in its overall pantheon, but had some great scares, had some really interesting visuals, and I always will blame Murphy for not having credit sequences, but... There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
Just stretch it because I'm not ready to say goodbye. No, just kidding. I'm ready. Totally yeah. I'm like, I'm... Forums at baldmove.com if you want to have some last-minute thoughts, because we're not going to have another podcast for American Horror Story.
Nope.
I don't know when we're going to be back. There is talk of us doing something around The Young Pope, the new HBO prestige drama somehow starring Jude Law as the young Pope.
Okay.
That seems like it would be kind of fun to do, but I don't know exactly when we'll be coming back. Stay tuned to baldmove.com and on Facebook and Twitter and all the other places for the next Aaron and Cecily project.
Aaron and Cecily.
There you go. Thanks for everybody for listening. Thanks for everybody rating, review us on iTunes. Thanks.
Yes, it has been an incredible season. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for all the feedback. Thanks for all the support with the save.baldmove.com stuff. Can't thank you enough for that. And if we don't see you before the end of the new year, happy Christmas, happy new year, happy Thanksgiving.
And happy all birthday to me.
The Kwanzaa and the Hanukkahs and all the holidays around the solstice and Yuletide and everything. Thanks. Happy and merry and all that stuff. New Year.
Or you could just listen to other Bald Move podcasts. It's going all the time.
Yeah, we just shit just doesn't stop at baldmove.com.
All right. Goodbye.
See ya.